You're listening to the Rizzoli and Isles podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jay. And yay! Sorry for the late podcast. Been a busy couple weeks.
Busy is an understatement.
But some news. We found out that June 5th is the day that Rizzoli and Isles Season 3 premiere. What?
Yay.
It's way earlier than the previous two seasons, which I appreciate.
Definitely.
And it's going to be on Tuesday. That was a rumor, and now it's official. It's going to be on Tuesdays now at 9 o'clock. And also, you get the Season 2 DVD May 22nd on my birthday. Yeah, awesome. I contacted, you know, Jen and Tamara. I was like, hey, you know what? It would be great for my birthday. Can you just put the DVD on my birthday? She's like, sure, no problem. I know what I'm going to get for my birthday. Just for
that. Crazy. It's going to be like $35. I don't pay full price for TV shows.
Well, it's going to be my birthday, so I'm not going to pay for it. Someone else is going to pay for it. For
me. Oh, okay.
So any of this is out. My P.O. box is... No, I'm kidding.
God.
I'm joking. No, I don't want anything. So, in this episode, we're going to discuss 105 Money for Nothing. Okay, so, starts off at a park. We have Mara and Jane. They're stretching before a run. And they see a girl flirting with this guy. I'm like, okay, that happens, you know. So this is the scene where we start to see, kind of give like a little detail of the difference of how Jane and Mara feels about love and relationships. Jane is like, oh, you know, love at first sight, you know, type of like hopeless romantic type of love thing, where Mara's like, ah, that's a bunch of baloney. People are only attracted to people who are attracted to them, you know?
Yeah, she says that attraction is pure narcissism, which she has a good point. I never thought of it that way.
It's very, they have two different views on that, which is very interesting. So, while this is going on, the girl is flirting with this guy, and then there's this other guy that comes up to the guy, and they start kissing. Which, Jay's like, well, that goes that theory. So apparently... Yeah,
the girl's face, she's standing there like, well, hell.
She's like, every single time. What is up with it? Yeah, Mara's face was just priceless. She was like, oh what? So that was really funny. And then they get a phone call, and they do, Rizzoli, Isles. Okay. So, head to the crime scene, and they're at this harbor because his body was floating in the water. Apparently, they didn't have a identity to the body, so it was like a John Doe, until Mara saw, she's like, I know who this person is, and it was Fairfield, one of the Fairfield brothers, and apparently, she used to date one of the Fairfields, one of the brothers, and Jane asked, was it serious? And Mara's like, well, if you're when you're 20, everything is serious. And I'm thinking when I was 20.
Yeah, I loved that line. I loved that the way she said it. She said, I was 20, everything felt serious. I was like, that's pretty good representation of, like, young love.
Yeah, so as this is going on, you know, when I comfort my friends, you know, I give a little pat on the back, a little hug. I don't put my hand way up their thigh. I don't do that. Just
you don't do that?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't start from the knee and then work my way up to there for JJ. I don't do that.
Oh, Jesus. She wasn't that far up.
Replay that scene. Just saying, I'm... Anyway, so Jade's like, you know, do you want to come with me to inform the family? And Mara's like, she doesn't want to, but she has to. So we head to the Fairfield Estate, which is, like, huge, huge mansion. Jane and Frost are, like, freaking out, like, how huge the place is. And Frost looks at this car and, like, freaking out of this nice sports car, by the way.
Yeah, well, it was a nice car. But I was like, that was a typical guy reaction.
And notice the car. That's a clue. The car is a clue.
Well, when they focus on things like that, inanimate objects.
And in the trunk... It's a blanket with the name Destiny on it.
Okay, smartass.
And Tommy's fingerprints is all on it. Just, knows that.
His fingerprints are on the trunk of the car.
Exactly.
And the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. And the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mara's like, well, that must be Garrett's car. because he enjoys the finer things of life. And then Jane says this, and I quote, "Yeah, he liked you."
So gay.
I was like, huh, heart, can't take it. Can't take it. So then they go inside, and there's, like, pictures of, like, all this stuff, because Fairfields were, like, they're basically old money, you know, wine, rum, slaves, all that. Like, first family, Boston.
Did you just say slaves? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what they said in the episode.
I don't remember that. That's funny.
Frost was like, slaves. And then they look at Frost. That's what happened.
Nice.
So yeah, so they're billionaires. And we see Sumner and Adam's wife. Sumner is one of the brothers. And, you know, they're crying or whatever. And Jane starts asking them questions. Mara's like, you know, can you wait for a bit? You know, they're just happening. But she still is like, whatever. And she still the guy's like, no, this is serious. And so they ask some questions, and we find out that Adam, the one who died, loves sailing and all this stuff. It's kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
And so then here comes, walks in Garrett, or I like to call him Bash from Franklin and Bash. He walks in, that's Mara's ex, and the family lawyer talks to Jane and Frost saying, you know, if you could write down the questions. Jane's like, fuck no. We're going to.
I know. I love Jane's reaction.
She's like, no, we're not going to do that. This is not how we operate. So she just, like, walks around. So she goes to Mara and Bash and wants to ask questions.
Who the fuck is Bash? What?
Garrett.
Who's Bash, though? What are you
Franklin
talking
about? Franklin and Bash. He's on Franklin and Bash.
What is Franklin and Bash?
It's a TV show on TNT about these lawyers. They're like the Rizzoli Owls, but well, actually, they're not exactly. It's like Rizzoli Owls is like cops and stuff where they're like lawyers. Which is funny because Rizzoli Owls is going to be on 9 o'clock. Franklin and Bash is going to come on at 10. Which means Rizzoli and Owls are on top of Franklin
no,
and Bash.
No, you don't call Franklin and Bash because he's not. No, he is. What's his face from Saved by the Bell? That's who he will always be. I'm like, what are you talking about, Franklin and Bash?
Okay, what, Zach? His name was Zach.
Yes. He is, he will, no. Yeah, he will always be from Saved by the Bell.
Okay, we're not going to call him Garrett. We could either call him Bash, Zach, or that guy that sort of looks like he's from Dawson's Creek, but not really. They look like twins. Which...
Bash. He's Zach. Are you kidding?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter, because I'm like, who the fuck is Bash?
1 week, I was really bored, and it had all 10 episodes, and I kind of watched it, so what?
Did it even make it past, like, the first season?
Yeah, I just said they're going to do a second season, and they're going to be they're going to come on after Rizzoli and Owls, which I made the joke that Rizzoli and Owls are going to be on top of Franklin and Bash. But yes, so back to the show, yeah, so Jay starts asking questions, and Mara's like, you know, this is not the time, you know, they're still going through stuff, can you wait till later? And I was like, oh, shit.
I love Jane's reaction, because she just looks at her and is like, no.
Right, I was like, oh,
shit. And no that said, what the fuck are you thinking? Why are you even asking me this question? You are ridiculous. No.
Right. And you can also see, like, Mara's face, like, yeah, I said it. I said we should wait. I said, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Jane's like, oh, no, you didn't. And they should have had, like, claw fight. Like, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So Jane and Frost leaves. Frost is in his own little world, still talking about the car. Jane's all upset, like, why would Mara say this? And stuff, like... She's just still, like, on the case, and Frost is like, yeah, I'm not listening to you. Like, that's an awesome car. Did you see that car? Like, he's still distracted. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's even like, yeah, we can write down the questions. That's fine. We head to the Dirty Robber, and Angela, she's selling this type of cleansing drink. She has, like, this, like, microphone headphone.
Yeah, she's got, like, a Madonna headset on.
Vogue. So she's like, Corsac bought too.
Well, Frankie comes in and is like freaking out, like, oh my god, is she poisoning people with this health drink? What's in it?
Yeah, he's even asking, like, why are you selling this? And she said, like, some neighbor was cured from something and from the drinks, which, okay. Yeah, I doubt that. And she said she gives Frankie two drinks, two bottles. She's like, one for Jane and one for him. You know? I love how Korsak was there. I just think, oh, come on. Season three, come on. Angela Korsak, let's do this.
We've been waiting for the Korsangela forever, so.
Okay, so we head back to the morgue. Mara is doing the autopsy on the body. Jane walks in and making fun of, like, rich people. Like, oh, did you... you know, smoke cigars with wads of hundreds, you know, all this stuff.
He's being very condescending toward Mara.
Right, and Mara is like, really answers the questions like, no. I was like, Jane was joking. Jane was joking. So Jane asks why the Mara didn't have her back, and then Mara said, well, she couldn't let Jane badger the family. I was like, oh! Oh, shit.
No. She asked why Mara is doing the autopsy on a Sunday, and she said it because the governor asked her to, and Jane thinks that she's rushing it because they're rich.
Right. So they have this whole argument about, like, oh, well, my, you know, the Fairfields built Boston, and then Jane's like, no, my great-uncle or...
No, yeah, she said her grandfather was an iron worker, and he helped build the city.
Right. So they just have this whole thing, and it just basically became like a history lesson of Boston. Like, who needs Wikipedia? Just watch this clip of Rizzoli and Owls, and you know everything about Boston.
Yeah.
And the Tea Party, like, it's just crazy.
The Tea Party. What? They didn't even mention the Tea Party in this episode. Why are you bringing it up?
Was there something about tea and Boston?
The Boston Tea Party, yeah, but it has nothing to do with
it. I was just saying they were talking a lot about Boston, and which is in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Just, you know, whatever. So they're still arguing, and even Mara have to ask, like, why are we arguing about my friends, or are we just having this history debate? And this is the real, okay, there's glaze over reason, which Jane feels like the whole, you got my back thing, and she has issues with the rich, you know, with growing up thing that Korsak says later on. But the real reason underneath all that, Jane is jealous. Jane is jealous, okay? Because she's like, I've never seen you hug a suspect before. And I'm like, why is that even important?
I don't think Jane is jealous. Jane doesn't offer special treatment to anybody, especially the privileged or, you know, the rich or whatever you want to call them, the upper class. She treats everybody equally. And for Mara to become personally involved with this, with the case and the suspects and everything like that, Jane flat out will not, like, allow it. She's not going to accept that Mara is being that way with the suspect. I don't think it's jealousy.
That's I think that's the other reason, but this is why I think it's jealousy, okay? Because throughout the whole episode, she keeps asking about the relationship between her and Zach. Like, it's just, in the beginning, you know, she's like, when Mara was talking about, oh, she dated Garrett or one of the brothers, Jane's like, was it serious? Why does that even matter? Like, something's like, why would that even matter? Then it was like, Mara hugs a suspect. Okay, first of all, I have seen Jane comfort suspects so many, even the killers, which we find out later on who the killer is.
Well, I think it's relevant to ask her if it was serious because it determines how well Mara knew the family.
Yeah, but at the same time, she just like, well, the way she just said, like, well, I've never seen you hug suspects before is just sort of like, well, why would you not hug? I mean, they were in a relationship, you know, it's, I don't know. I'm not the only one. I can't be the only one that thinks that Jane was, like, all upset.
I think Jane was more pissed off over Mara asking her to hold off on questioning the family so much as her personal background with the family. I think that's what she was pissed about, is because Mara didn't have her back when she was there questioning what was going on, you know, what took place.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I'm just saying there's also a fact that I think Jane...
Yeah, okay, we'll have to agree to disagree.
Okay, fine. So they start arguing about whether or not they wanted a homicide or if it's an accident. So we head to the brick. It's Korsak, Frost, and Frost makes a joke. Like, it's like a Clue. Because when he was looking at all the family members... in the Fairfield, he's like, it's like Clue. He's like, it was the butler with the candlestick. Like, So they're looking for clues, and then they find out that Sumner was in some sort of fraud business thing, which is why Adam became the next CEO. And they were saying, well, why didn't Zach take over? It's because he had this clothing line. And then they go to Sumner, and he had this warehouse, and they're interviewing him. And Sumner thinks Adam set him up, and that's why he lost his job. And then he said this line. This is a clue. Brothers don't kill brothers. Okay.
And I was like, that's so random, because it's okay to kill somebody else. Like, why would you even say that?
Aren't we technically all brothers and sisters?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, so that's a clue. So the car and that quote, brothers don't kill brothers. All right, so we head back to the morgue. It's Korsak and Mara, and she was looking at the sweater that Adam was wearing, which is another clue. The sweater. So apparently the sweater was like $1,000.
Korsak immediately drops the sweater when he realized how much it's worth, supposedly.
Right. I'm like, who would buy it? Okay, never mind. Anyway.
Oh, that's an expensive sweater.
That's like... That could be rent or something. It depends on where you live.
It's like multiple months of rent for me.
Yeah, it depends on where you live. It could be multiple months, or it could be, like, if you're in New York City, like, a month, maybe. I don't know.
Rent's a little bit more than that in New York, especially if you're in the city.
So, Korsak asks why he's here, not Jane. And Mara gives the excuse, you know, because Korsak sails a lot, so she needs information about boats. And Korsak's like, I don't believe you because you've had a lot of floaters before. And she's like, 43 floaters to be exact. And Korsak's like, come on, what's the real reason? And then Mara just gets this like cute little face. She's like, me and Jane are fighting.
It was cute because Korsak's just like, he's got to be like, I don't know, the ref. He's like, okay, what's going on here?
And I just love that. And then Korsak's like, oh boy, here we go. Korsak was saying, you know, what he heard about this whole Zach situation is how close they were, and that explained that Jane, the way they grew up in the background, and basically Jane wants to know if Mara has her back. That's basically the whole issue.
What's the whole class distinction type thing? Jane was probably, you know, lower middle class, maybe, because her dad was a plumber, her mom, like, odd job, so blue collar family, pretty much. And what he says is that they all had their back growing up, and she just wants to make sure that Jane has her back, or that Mara has Jane's back, because she came from, you know, a white-collar background. So there's that class distinction there that they're struggling with.
Right. So then we head to Jane's desk, and Frankie's there, and he tells Jane about Angela's new job, and worries that Angela's leaving Frank. Foreshadowing. And... So then Zach's lawyer shows up, and so they have this whole thing, this issue, because the lawyer's supposed to bring these, like, files and didn't bring it, and then Jane did this research on a lawyer, and basically the lawyer's saying, you know, I was poor, and then this family helped me, and all this, and so they have this whole argument again with classes. This is basically, like, rich versus poor episode, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So we head to the brick. Korsak and Frost are looking for more clues. Mara walks in, and Frost asks why she didn't give the file to Jane. Korsak's like, don't ask. Find out that the victim's last meal was oysters, and so Frost invites Mara to go to this restaurant that they found around the area where the boat was found, where the body was found, to eat oysters. So they're at the restaurant, and there's these raw oysters that Mara and Frost are eating. Korsak's like, you can't look at dead bodies, but you can eat that. You can eat that snot. It's like oyster snot.
Well, doesn't Korsak starts laughing that Mara pays for food that you're not supposed to chew?
Right.
When they go to the restaurant, because you're supposed to just swallow it whole. Which the first time I ever had oysters, I was like, what? You don't chew it? Which I think is a very blue-collar reaction. But.
So then they find a receipt, and it shows that the victim was with the lady because they had salad and dressing on the side. Because apparently, girls like the dressing on the side. And I was like, well, yes.
Well, true, because I totally do that too.
Yes, because I don't want it to be too much or too little. I want just the amount that I want.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like salads with croutons on them, so I prefer my dressing on the side so the croutons don't get soggy.
I had salad this time with Caesar dressing for the first time, and I didn't know what dressing it was, so I was eating it, and I was like, this is really good dressing. I was like, what is this?
How have you never had Caesar? Oh my god.
No, I just use ranch dressing.
You have been deprived.
That's my favorite dressing, so I use ranch
Caesar
dressing.
Caesar salads are my favorite. That's why I love croutons.
I like Caesar salads. I just put ranch dressing on Caesar salad.
But then it's not a Caesar salad. It's just a salad. You have to have the Caesar dressing.
Well, I thought because the lettuce and the certain type of lettuce, because house lettuce don't have like spinach.
Yeah, I use plain lettuce, but it's only one portion of the Caesar salad.
It didn't matter. I liked the Caesar dressing. It was pretty good. Okay, so we head back to the morgue.
Jane comes bearing chocolate. As an olive branch, and it's got 24 karat gold flake.
This is okay. This proves my theory. I can't be the only one. Okay, this is why I feel like Jane was a little bit. Okay, think of it this way. Why would Jane give, other than the whole bribing thing, which we're gonna talk about later? She gives chocolate with gold stuff because maybe she feels like maybe this is just. Hypothetically, maybe she feels like, impossible, me and Mara ever got a relationship. She's not gonna pick me because she can have this Garrett dude.
No.
Let me finish. This Garrett dude who has a lot of money and not someone who is blue collar, don't have a lot of money, living paycheck to paycheck, doing this job because she needs this job type of thing. I mean, I'm just saying, it's the gold carrots and the chocolate. She's trying to impress Mara. It's just a sign of true love. I am not insane.
Are you finished?
Yes.
I think you're reading way too much into it. She brought chocolate as a peace offering because they were arguing and Jane was being such a dick the last time that they were at the morgue together. That's why she brought chocolate.
Okay.
To say, I'm sorry. But Jane can't apologize, so she brings the chocolate.
I'm sorry. I've never bought chocolate to any of my friends as an apology. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just like...
Wait, no, that's what I'm saying. The chocolate was an apology without apologizing, though.
I'm saying when people... I'm from looking at a guy's perspective, I'm guessing if they bring chocolate to as an apology or something. I'm just looking at it as, like, do usually people who are in a relationship, they do that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I still think you're reading way too much into it.
If anyone's listening to this, we should have a poll. Okay, whatever. But Mara thinks Jane is making fun of her, and Jane denies it. And then she asks Mara to run these tests on those bottles of drinks that Angela has.
Yeah, and I love Jane's, or Mara, she goes, what case is it for? And Jane's is like, is Jane's mother poisoning the neighborhood? That was awesome.
Okay,
so Korshak walks in.
No, just before this. Right before, Jane keeps pushing Mara to, you know, to try the candy. You know, I think you'll like it. I'm telling you, it's candy, it's a gateway to flowers. I'm just saying, gateway to flowers. Anyway, now Korshak walks in. And then Mara thinks, with the cutest face, she thinks, oh, is this an apology? Like, it's just the cutest, I wish, the face. It's just so cute. She's just smiling, like, is this an apology? And Jane's like, for what? And I was like,
ugh. And Korsak's like, oh boy. And he tries to leave.
This is the second time he said it.
Jane stops him. And
to be the referee again.
Yeah, he has to mediate again.
Yeah. And so Jane's like, you tell her. And then she's like, tell me what? And then like, Korsak's like, Jane wants you to get to Garrett so you can help like solve the case. And so Mara's like, so this is a bribe. And then Mara's like, well, tell Jane. I'm not going to use Garrett to get information of the case that she needs to solve. And it's like, and then it's be like, well, tell Mara that I don't have to buy the Hope Diamond. And so they keep going back and forth. It's like, tell Jane, tell Mara. Korsak's phone rings, which I think he purposely did that himself. He leaves.
Yeah, he made his phone go off so he could run and escape.
Yeah. And it's so funny how, I love how they set them up, because you have, like, Jane, a body, Mara. Like, not only the tension is, like, breaking them apart, but a body. Which is kind of, like, symbolic if you look at it. It's the body of a guy that dated this, it's like this whole circle thing. I don't know. It's because of this body that started the argument. Because just in the beginning of the episode, they were just running together. And because of this one guy and this all this history, they're arguing. Nice little thing, director. I got that. So they're arguing, and Jane's, like, saying, you know, I need this job. You don't need this job. Why are you, like, slumming with us? And Mara's like, well, you know, she wants her life to have purpose. And she likes doing what she loves doing what she does. And so Jane's like, well, I don't know anymore. And then walks away.
Well, I like what, I understand where Jane's coming from, though, because she's calling Mara out on whose side she's on. Because Mara can't be the chief medical examiner, but at the same time, she's making excuses for the suspect. And she's rushing autopsies for the governor, and she clearly has a separate agenda than what Jane is just trying to solve the case.
I don't think she has a choice about the governor.
Well, her conclusion, I mean, she was rushing that it wasn't suicide, that it was whatever, an accident or whatever it was. Or that it wasn't homicide, that it was suicide or whatever.
Okay. I still think Jane wants to hit that. Anyway, so we go to the state and we have Zach in a pool. Nice pool, by the way. Now it makes me want to go swimming, just thinking about it. So Mara's there, they start to reminisce, and I like this whole continuity type of action, because he's like, do you still run marathons? Which is going to happen in a later episode, which I thought, you see? What happened to that in season 2? What happened to that? So Zach was talking about Sumner and Adam having issues, and so while this is going on, Zach and Mara start flirting, saying he hasn't had person serious since college, I guess since their relationship. And he sees that Mara's not married. I think they had a nice chemistry. If he wasn't the killer, I think he would have been a cute couple. Compared to, what, Ian or...
Yeah. Well, did they ever say, though, why they broke up? I don't remember.
This is what I'm guessing. I'm guessing they met in college, and Mara did the whole Doctors Without Borders thing, met Ian, broke it off with Garrett.
She was 20, so Doctors Without Borders would have come way after that.
You don't know how long they've been in a relationship. They've been in a relationship for a while.
Okay, you think she graduated from college at 22. She wouldn't have, it's like, what, another, at minimum, 3 years to get her medical degree. She would have been 25? I don't think so.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe because of the distance, like, he did go overseas to do the clothing line, and they couldn't work out the whole long distance thing.
I don't know.
So
they broke up for a reason. So
he became a lawyer on Franklin and Bash. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. So the next scene, we have Mara in the awesome car. So Mara calls Jane, saying, giving the info, saying that Adam had a mistress, and saying that she has Jane's back. And before that, Jane apologizes to Mara, which is really sweet. So we head back to the police headquarters. We have Corsack and Frost, and they have info on Adam's mistress. And the wife was divorcing Adam, and that they found the boat. So then we head to the harbor, and there's, like, these Coast Guard guys guarding the boat, like, you can't investigate on this boat. And so Jane said, I think you should move. And then Mara's like, if you want kids, I think you should move.
Jane was pretty badass in that scene.
Oh, yes. So we have Corsack, Frost, Jane, and Mara. They're on a boat, and they're like, well, it seems like it's not a homicide. It must be an accident. And Mara's like, ha ha ha, no, it's not. This is not an accident. Someone tried to kill Adam. Dun, 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 dun. So we head to the morgue, Jane and Mara, and they find out that there was a head trauma, and that the shape of on the boat did not match the head trauma, so someone must have hit him in the head, and it made it seem like it was an accident. So they're trying to figure out how this happened, and then Mara looks at the sweater again. That's a clue. So while this is going on, James asks Mara out for a drink. Date. And...
I love it. Mara asks, will it have gold flecks in it?
Apology candy.
Which I was cracking up because I was like, well, if they have, you know, shots of some Goldschlager, then it'll have gold flecks in it.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a cinnamon flavored elk.
Oh, like, you just ruined it with cinnamon? Oh.
Yeah, cinnamon. It's not bad until you get sick on it, and then you can never do it again.
So Jane's like, no, there's no Goflex in it. So he heads to a Dirty Robber, and now is asked, not only is, like, rich versus poor, it's beer versus wine. So while they're discussing the case, Jane starts to ask Mara about Zach, and Mara's like, I think I'm in love with the guy. And then Jane's like, oh, that's just narcissism.
She's putting Mara's words right back at her.
Right. Mara says that the test results are basically, it's just water. It's like, basically the drinks are just like 98% water and some other...
The test results for the health drink that Jane's mom is selling?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like 98% water and some other stuff. She's like, nothing that would kill you, but nothing that would help you either.
It's like water with food coloring, pretty much.
So, oh, I just love this scene. Okay, so then it gets a little better. Mara's like, oh, I have something for you. And hands Jane an envelope that has, like, Mara Isles on it. And before Jane opens it, she's like, is this an apology or a bribe? I'm serious. This is, like, a date. I'm so serious. They're, like, flirting so bad. It's ridiculous. Okay, so then it's basically an invitation to Adam's memorial. Mara was, like, inviting Jane, another date, to the memorial. And so Jane's like, well, will I embarrass you? And then Mara's like, you've already embarrassed me or something. And then Jane looks at her, she's like, dressed attire. She's like, can I just go like this? And Mara's like, well, if you're going to embarrass me, please, you can have to wear the proper clothing. So they go shopping. I wish they would have showed that. That would have been so... I want to see a scene of, like, Mara and Jane shopping and Jane coming out of the dressing room like, really? This? All right. So we head back to the estate, and it's Jane and Mara. And Jane says, and I quote, this feels like junior prom. I'm serious. This is what she said. Such a date. So then Jane's like, she's like, I'm getting a wedgie. And so she's like, just cover me. And Mara's like, can you just do this in the bathroom? Jane's like, no, it just only takes a second.
Oh, God, that was so bad. I was like, what is she doing? Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right. So then this guy comes in with the champagne, and they start drinking it. And then Jane's like, oh, wow. Oh, my God, I love this. And she gets to another glass. And so she's asking Mara how much it would be. And while this is going on, they're walking, and Mara's phone's ringing. She's like, can you hold my glass while I pick up the phone? She's like, I got these test results. I think it was from this sweater or something. And I love this scene so much. While this is going on, and Mara's on her phone, Jane wants to drink more of her drinks. So she looks at Mara's drink, she looks at her drink, she looks at Mara's drink.
She's got three glasses in her hands.
And she's like, like... I don't know if that was improv on Angie's part, which if it was, that was great. That was amazing. But I thought that was so hilarious. I couldn't, I'm sorry, if I was around it, I would be laughing so hard. Because she was just like, I don't know. She was like, should I just drink some of Mara? She's like, I don't know what to do. It was so funny.
After she's done on her phone, Mara has to like pry her glass back out of Jane's hands. Before they go to the dinner.
Oh, no, well, yeah, but, like, right before that, Zach comes in and starts complimenting them, and he talks about the trophy. Remember that?
No.
Yeah, Adam's like, oh, every once in a while, like, we share this trophy. And while this is going, like, Jane starts downing. Like, she's, like, just drinking, like, glass. Like, a thing. It's Zach leaves, and actually, if you listen very closely, I don't know if I didn't notice this before, but if you listen very closely, he says, okay, that is crazy. That's what he says. And that's why Mara looks at Jane like that. I didn't even notice that.
He says that? I didn't. About Jane with three glasses of wine or whatever it is in her hand?
So she's like, give me that. Give me that. And so Mara steals the glass. And you can hear, she says, good, because I'm hungry. And then she belches. So we had to lunch. We had the dinner table. And if this is, like, a joke, this is... Okay, Mara is teaching Jane how to eat fish. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you think of that for a second.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're wrong. Move on.
I mean, come on. It's so easy. It's so easy. Showing her which utensils to use, how to do it.
This is where it gets a bit ridiculous, in my opinion, though. Okay, I understand they're trying to compare the differences between Jane and her blue-collar background and Mara's, you know, white-collar rich lifestyle that she came from. I get that there's differences, but they take it too far, in my opinion. I don't think Jane would have such bad table manners and be so ridiculous about the 3 glasses of wine in her hands. I think that's a little too far-fetched. Yes, I think it's great for comedy, but I think they take it way too far with the whole fish scene.
I see what you're saying, because if you're put in a situation, a new situation like that, you mm-hmm. just try to adjust to...
Yeah, you watch and see what other people are doing and like, mimic. Because I've done internships and stuff like that where you have, like, those super, like, fancy dinners and you have to go dressed up and... You're like, what do I do? You watch and you pay attention and you behave in an appropriate manner. Jane is just ridiculous.
Right, right. And I know you just have. I just know that Angela and Frank would sort of teach them. You know, I mean, if they have Sunday dinners every single time, they know how to use utensils and like stuff like that. So yeah, Sometimes they're, like, trying to be like, this is how different Jane and Mara is. Like, we got it. You don't have to have it to the point where it's exaggerating. You just have, like, a subtlety helps, too. But back to a dirty joke. Basically, Jane was like, she stabs the fish. She's like, well, this is how we do it. I don't know who eats like that when they stab something.
That's what I'm saying. Bad table manners. I don't think. Anyway.
Yeah, so fish juice lands on her. I can't do this in a straight face. And then Mara says, stop it. It's delicious. I'm done. I think I'm done. I do. Jane and Mara walking. They're walking to the bathroom. And then they catch Sumner and Adam's wife kissing. What? Trauma. Okay. So then the lawyer stops them from interviewing them. It's so the lawyer's like, they're not the, basically saying, you know, suspects. Because we head to the brick and we show a video of Sumner and Adam's wife at a hotel and they were there the whole day. Bow, chicka, wow, wow. So then, basically they're saying they had an affair during the murder and they're not the killers. So then Frost thinks Zach did it because of the lack of money and he had issues paying bills. And then they said, well, he can't be the killer because he flew during the time that the murder was held. And so they say, well, that doesn't mean that he was on the plane. So then Frost figures out that maybe he killed Adam and then drove back to Boston in that car. And so Mara starts putting the pieces together in her head. And she gets upset and she leaves. And then we head to the morgue. She's like, this was a nice scene. So Jane comes in and she's saying, I'm so sorry, Mara, you know, that this happened. I know you started liking the guy. And saying that Mara it was her gut instinct that, you know, Mara's not with him. And then Mara's like all upset. She's like, I should have figured this out because Adam has some sort of condition, which meant that he was the half-brother. And she's like, I know what killed Adam. So we head to the estate, and basically they're saying, like, there's a part from the car that killed Adam and the fact that he is a swimmer, so he swam to shore. And then the whole saying, brothers don't kill brothers, works because Adam is a half-brother. Yeah. That was great. They go and arrest Zach. So then we head to the Dirty Robber, date number 3. And so Jane Mara celebrates, and Jane, this reminds me of the candy with the gold flex, because she puts beer in champagne glasses. And so Mara's like, I'm not in a champagne mood, and Jane's like, it's not champagne, it's beer. And so Mara's like, well, let's drink it your way. So Jane, I love how Jane's like, okay, I want 2 bottles of beer, and then she still's drinking some beer out of champagne glasses. So then they start talking, and Jane apologizes again to Mara about, you know, the argument about saying, you know, you were slumming, why are you slumming with us? And so Mara's like, you see, this is why that I'm doing what I'm doing. And so they start drinking beer, product placement, and...
Was it product placement? What brand was it?
Yeah, it was like this, I think it was Michelob or something. Because before, like in season 1 with the commercials, that was their sponsor, I guess. And so just notice that every time they drink beer, that's the only beer they drink.
Okay, that's fine.
That season, and it's like, oh, this is so delicious. It's so great. I'm like, ugh. It reminds me of when they drive cars, like, oh, look, I can reverse.
Yeah, what was it? What episode was that where they have the car with the rear view cam? Oh, that was so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, was that? I think that was a finale, and Frankie's like, look, you see in the rear view cam, you can see. Oh, my gosh. I hate when shows do that. Every show does it somehow, some way. They slip it in there. Or they're in their car, and they're on, please call this person, you know, as this Bluetooth thing. Or their cell phone, you know, they have to show that it's a Sprint phone. Or American Idol used Coca-Cola. But you know what? I would rather have that than, like, 15 commercials before each act. Like, if they just put all the stuff in the background, I would rather have a show without commercials and just have that than to have, like, an hour show but, like, 20 minutes of actual show. But yeah, so they celebrate, and that's the end of the episode. So what was your initial reaction?
My initial reaction was, hey, it's What's-His-Face from Saved by the Bell! That was my initial reaction. This episode was okay. It had some interesting back and forth between Jane and Mara. I felt the class distinction thing was a little overdone. I could have backed off on it a bit. It's like, you know, we're halfway through the episode. Okay, we get it. Mara's from white collar, Jane's blue collar. We got it. You don't need to go so far. So other than that, it was a decent episode. I mean, you knew who did it. It, as far as, you know, character development between Jane and Mara, it had decent amount, so it wasn't bad.
I have to say, 4, 5, and 6, those three in a row were actually, like, probably, like, my favorite, like, mostly of the season. I love this episode because, yes, they had that, this was the first time that we've seen, this is not gonna be the last, unfortunately, of Jane and Mara arguing.
Yeah.
And it was a funny argument. It wasn't, like, the argument that's like, oh, I can't, my heart can't take it. But, like, it wasn't like in season two, it was like, oh, can't do it. I can't watch it no more. It wasn't like that. It was a type of argument where it was, like, funny, but, you know, I don't know. I just thought the whole thing with the chocolate and the way I see it with the whole Jane jealousy thing, just saying. But, yeah, I actually enjoyed this episode. It was one of my, I was really excited for the next episode. I was like, yeah, I'm really digging this show. And today, I really love this episode. So, what's your rating? What's your, on the Gaydar ping?
I probably put it at She Wants Me, She Wants Me Not.
Huh, why is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, they had the back and forth and arguing, and then, like, Mara trying to make peace and trying to take her to the dinner party, and, like, you know, the end of the episode when they're, when Jane gives her, you know, the beer and champagne glass. But you, at the same time, you have Mara trying to figure out, like, her feelings for her old boyfriend kind of thing, so.
Right. I have to agree. I have number 3, She Wants Me, She Wants Me Not. There was a lot of, come on. Before they even went to the memorial, they were so flirting. Just the way they were looking at each other, and even Mara does this little touch thing, like this little dap little touch thing. I don't know if you noticed that. Like she touched Jane. Like, oh, stop it. I was like, you guys were flirting. I was like, that is flirting. They're just like, even though they were talking about another guy, I was like, I'm surprised their clothes are on. Like, what is going on here?
At the same time, I guess the history with the characters too. At the same time, you have to keep in mind, they are very touchy-feely. When I see how much they are, like, constantly in contact with each other, I don't even make contact like that with my friends. I don't, you know, I might, like, pat somebody on the shoulder, but I'm not, like, you know, I don't pat their leg or grab their arm. That's just, you know, I think it's just the dynamic of their relationship.
Yeah, they're very touchy.
But at the same time, it just adds more credence to the whole gay thing.
Right, exactly. It's just, and then the whole thing about Jane saying it's like junior prom, because when I'm out with my friends, I say it's like prom. No. I'm like, I don't. Because when I think of prom, you think of prom, like, date. Just saying. I don't know. I'm thinking Jane was a little too excited that Garrett was the killer. She's like, yes. She's like, that's right, you don't want his gold flex, you want mine!
That's all for this episode. If you have any comments, feel free to email us at the Rizzoli and Owls Podcast at gmail.com. You can check out our website at therizzoandanalyspodcast.blogspot.com. Follow us on Twitter at @TheR&I Podcast. If you would like to subscribe to us on iTunes, search Rizzoli and Owls and take a look in the podcast section. Thank you for listening.
And this case is closed.
Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Oh, were you recording when I first did that?
Yeah.
Nice.